brought you out of the nations, house of Israel, weep for joy. I brought you out of the
listening to Reality Radio Network, located at www.realityradionetwork.com. Coming up next is By Yahweh's Design with your host, Pastor Dan, and now here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this one-hour live radio broadcast coming to you via realityradionetwork.com. We dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, the Great I Am, and to His holy remnant, the believing sons and daughters of Jacob Israel, also known as the Caucasian or Covenant peoples of the world. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh in ancient Hebrew. Tonight is the 17th of February, year 2003, Monday evening. We've decided to go ahead and play part two of The Great Pyramid. This will be a tape by biblical archaeologist E. Raymond Capp. This will run approximately 29 minutes, and that will take us to the bottom half of the hour, at which time we'll take a short break, and then we'll open the phone lines up for an open forum. So I hope you enjoy the tape.
Welcome to Biblical Antiquities, a series of studies into Bible archaeology and history. I am E. Raymond Capt, biblical archaeologist and research historian. Our Creator has revealed many things to man in many ways. In addition to the written word of the Bible, we learn from creation itself and from the archaeological record of past civilizations. This series is designed to open your understanding to many truths, some of which may be new to you. Allow the Holy Spirit, or Spirit of Truth, and the Word of God to be your guide. This series is narrated by Paul H. Johnson.
The Great Pyramid, Part 2. I will start with a question. If the Great Pyramid was not the tomb of one of the pharaohs of Egypt, what was its purpose? The ancient Arabic manuscript, Akbar Esmin, tells us something of its purpose. It states that the pyramid contains the wisdom and acquirements in the different arts and sciences, the sciences of arithmetic and geometry, that they might remain as records for the benefit of those who could afterwards comprehend them. The positions of the stars and their cycles, together with the history of time past and of that which is to come. In 1859, John Taylor, professor of astronomy at the University of Oxford, was the first man to see and make known to mankind some of the deep and important truths hidden for so many ages in the Great Pyramid. His book, The Great Pyramid, Why Was It Built and Who Built It, stated, "The Great Pyramid enshrined a divine revelation." The unit of measure employed in the actual construction was the Egyptian royal cubit. However, the lineal unit predominating in the design of the pyramid was the sacred cubit, which is shown on the boss in the antechamber. A scientific examination of the sacred cubit is found to bear an exact relationship with the size of our planet Earth. This cubit is the exact 10 millionth part of the distance from the center of the Earth to the pole or semi-axis of our Earth. According to the results from observations made in the International Geophysical Year 1957-58, the polar radius of the Earth to its pole or semi-axis is approximately 3,949.89 miles. Divide this figure into 10 million parts, and the result is one sacred cubit, or 25 pyramid inches, which happens to be, in our English inches, 25.0265, a minutely close figure. Many features of the Great Pyramid exhibit design on the part of the architect to embody relative scientific time and distance measurements in parts of the structure where they could not be overlooked. It is worthy of note that the entire geometric structure of the Great Pyramid is designed on the basis of the Greek letter pi, 3.14159, the mathematical ratio upon which the whole physical universe is designed, and the value of y, 365.242, the number of days in the Earth's solar year. This is the time interval in days between two successive vernal equinoxes in the Earth's journey around the Sun. In mathematics, pi, the 16th letter in the Greek alphabet, is the ratio between the circumference of a circle and its diameter, or the straight line through its center. That is to say, the circumference of any circle is always 3.14159 times its diameter. This sign has been adopted because of the fact that the ratio in question has never been ascertained to its finality, although of course it has been calculated to an exceedingly high degree of precision, namely to over 5,000 decimal places. The amazing fact that this geometric ratio, pi, which pervades the whole universe from the vast stellar system to the tiniest atoms, also pervades the Great Pyramid. This was first revealed by the angle of the slope of the pyramid's sides. This angle results in the pyramid's vertical height bearing the same ratio to the perimeter of its base that the radius of the circle bears to its circumference. In other words, if the height of the pyramid to its apex be taken as the radius of a circle, the distance around the pyramid is found to be equal to the circumference of that circle. The required angle of the slope of the pyramid's sides to produce this result is consequently known as the pyramidic pi angle and is 51 degrees, 51 minutes, and 14.3 seconds. No other pyramid in the world is built to this angle. I will now mention just a few of the scientific features found in the Great Pyramid and in the briefest detail. 1. The Sun's distance from the Earth. For over 2,500 years, man has struggled to solve this problem. The Greeks, in 500 BC, judged the distance to be about 10 miles, later guessing it to be more than 2,000 miles. In later centuries, man estimated it to be farther and farther away, until in the 16th century it had increased to 36 million miles. The latest figures from modern astronomy give 92 million miles as the Sun's mean distance from the Earth. As there was absolutely no way of calculating this until recently, scientists were astounded to discover that built into the Great Pyramid base plan was a figure approximating 93 million miles. 2. The mean density of the Earth. The true mean density, or specific gravity, of the Earth has also been an age-old problem. An average of prominent tests has placed it at 5.672 times the weight of water at 68 degrees Fahrenheit. The pyramid places it at 5.7, a figure closely approximating the average estimate. 3. The weight of the Earth. Knowing the density of the Earth enabled physicists to ascertain its weight to be approximately 6 billion trillion tons. The Earth's weight and the weight of the pyramid were found to be proportionately related to one another. The pyramid's weight of approximately 5,300,000 tons was noted to be about 1,000 trillionth of the weight of the Earth. 4. The volume of the Earth's crust above mean sea level. The vast amount of surveying necessary to determine the average height of all the landmass on Earth would have been an impossible task even a few hundred years ago. However, with the advent of aerial photography and the accumulation of data from continuing geological surveys, together with modern computers, an estimate is now given as approximately 455 feet. The top of the pyramid, as the builders left it unfinished, is 454 and one half feet, a difference of only 6 inches. 5. The mean temperature of the Earth. This temperature is about 68 degrees Fahrenheit. In the pyramid, this temperature is maintained permanently and unvaryingly in the king's chamber. 2 air channels, when cleaned of sand, were found to keep this chamber at the normal of mean temperature, which temperature is exactly 1/5 of the distance between the freezing and boiling points of water. Scientists say that 68 degrees Fahrenheit is the ideal temperature for the existence of man. 6. The rotundity of the Earth. The rotundity, or curvature, of the Earth was found by surveying the side baseline of the pyramid. Due to the hollowed-in core of the masonry, which is 35.76 inches recessed on each side, a curved line was produced. Computations were made to ascertain how long the radius would be that would produce a circle containing that curve. The resulting answer was that the radius would be approximately half the diameter of the Earth, or the curvature of the Earth. 7. The Golden Rule of Architecture. The Great Pyramid conforms perfectly to the recognized laws of harmony and beauty. The Egyptians, Cretans, and Greeks all knew about the Golden Rule of Architecture, also called the Golden Number. Such architectural masterpieces as the Parthenon on the Acropolis at Athens conformed to it, but not with the high degree of mathematical precision to be found in the pyramid built over 2,000 years earlier. This golden number, when worked out, turns out to be the cosine of the pi angle of the Great Pyramid, which is 51 degrees 51 minutes and 14.3 seconds, expressed as correct to 3 decimal places, namely 0.618. 8. Mathematical relationship with Isaiah chapter 19 and verses 19 and 20. Quote, "In that day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. And it shall be for a sign and for a witness unto the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt." End quote. In Hebrew, the letters of the alphabet were employed as arithmetical figures. Thus, the original verses in Isaiah, which were written in Hebrew, would give a row of figures for each word. This text of Isaiah consists of 30 words, and the numerical value of the total of these numbers comes to 5,449, that is, the numerical value of these 2 verses. A remarkable mathematical relationship was found with the Great Pyramid when it was noted that the actual height of the pyramid as left by the builders was exactly 5,449 inches. 9. The base circuit of the pyramid contains a still greater wonder. As our Earth has 3 separate lengths of years, namely the solar tropical year, the sidereal year, and the anomalistic year, even so were the baselines and walls of this pyramid so constructed with 3 different lengths of circumferences. The measurements designating the 3 astronomical years were found in measuring the hollowed-in core masonry of the faces of the pyramid. Hidden by the straight lines of the original casing stones on the exterior of the pyramid, they would never have been revealed except for the removal of the casing stones. These different cycles have to do with the earth and its relationship with both the stars and the sun. The sidereal year is the interval between the earth's position at any time in the year in relation to the fixed stars and its return to that exact position. In other words, the star heavens appear to pass over the earth 365.256 times during the circuit. This difference of about 20 minutes is due to slight variations in the earth's orbit. The anomalistic year is the interval between successive annual returns of the earth to the point in its orbit nearest to the sun, January the 2nd or 3rd. This circuit requires 365.259 days, about 5 minutes longer than the sidereal year, again due to the motion in the Earth's orbit. There is yet another very important movement related to astronomy, the great cycle of time which we call the precession of the equinoxes. It is the time interval in which the Earth's pole makes one complete circuit round the geographical North Pole, an effect connected mainly with a gradual change in the direction of the Earth's axis of rotation. This period of time varies, being greater or less, depending on from what stage of its movement it is calculated. Modern science gives the cycle as approximately 25,800 years. It is noted that the sum of the two diagonals of the pyramid's designed base, a length of 12,913.27 pyramid inches multiplied by 2 equals 25,826.54 years, a figure considered by some scholars to actually represent the precessional cycle. There are other remarkable examples of interlocking mathematical solar distances found in the design of the pyramid, demonstrating that the architect preceded modern astronomers by over 4,500 years. Nearly all the dimensions of the exterior and interior of the pyramid are expressible in terms of the length of the solar year. The square base circuit of the pyramid equals 36,524.235 inches. The 35th course of masonry above the pyramid's baseline extends from its outer edge to the central vertical line, a distance of 3,652.235 inches, which parallels the baseline measurement. The measurements of the interior chambers reveal the length of the antechamber to be 116.2602 inches, multiplying that figure by pi, or 3.14159, equals 365.2423 inches, which is the length of our solar year. Now we come to the intriguing question of who really built the Great Pyramid. To ascribe to a certain personage the actual building or superintending of the building of the Great Pyramid of Giza has been the object of much research. No archaeological or historical evidence has been found to positively identify the builder. There is one tradition that has existed since ancient times that the builder was Almodad, the eldest and son of Joktan, mentioned in the book of Genesis chapter 10, verse 6. Almodad, whose name means God is a friend, is described as the inventor of geometry and the measurer of the earth. Certainly, the Great Pyramid was constructed according to a marvelous geometric design. Almodad and his family came from the area of Arabia. This is consistent with the records of the Bible and the ancient histories which reveal the eastern territory from which the builders of the pyramid came was Arabia. Job, the youngest brother of Almodad, has also been mentioned in connection with the building of the pyramid. In the 38th chapter of the book of Job, the Almighty speaks to Job as if he were the identical person who had laid the measures of the pyramid, stretched the lines upon it, and set its foundations in their sockets and laid the cornerstone. It appears that the object of the passage is to convince Job of his incompetency to judge and understand God. The address seems to sound as if the Creator intended to say to him, "You laid the foundation of the great structure in Egypt, but where were you when I laid the foundation of the far greater pyramid of the earth? You laid down the measurements of the pyramid in Egypt, but whereupon are the foundations of the earth fastened? You laid the cornerstone amid songs and jubilation, but who laid the cornerstone of the earth when the celestial morning stars sang together and all the heavenly sons of God shouted for joy?" The image is unquestionably that of the Great Pyramid, and is suggestive that it was the builder of the pyramid who was thus addressed. The identity of the builder of the Great Pyramid remains one of its hidden secrets. We may conclude, however, from the available evidence we have, that a descendant of Shem, a Shemite, was its builder. It is noted that they were descendants of Enoch, to whom God had given revelations concerning the times and cycles of the heavenly luminaries, and from Noah, who had received special revelations if the sciences of measures, mechanics, and all that superior wisdom found embodied in the Great Pyramid. An equally intriguing question, and perhaps more important, is who was the designer or architect of the Great Pyramid? The perfect accuracy of all the geodetic and astronomical statistics which man was unable to ascertain until modern times is evidence of divine revelation. Regardless of who is found to have supervised its construction, the architect of the Great Pyramid stands revealed as none other than Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. Notwithstanding the fact that no nation of antiquity on earth possessed the knowledge revealed by the Great Pyramid and understood it, some may reject its divine inspiration. God seemingly anticipated man's need for additional evidential proof of the pyramid's divine testimony, and gave a line of proof which cannot be anticipated or counterfeited. God appointed the test which we are to apply in Isaiah chapter 46 and verses 9 and 10. "I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning." If it can be shown that the design of the Great Pyramid embodies a prophetic chronology, then we have the very evidence which God himself has declared shall be proof that the design is from him. The factual evidence that the Great Pyramid contains a prophetic chronology can be demonstrated from the actual passage links, links being proportionate to the respective biblical ages which they represent. This remarkable discovery was made possible by a study of the geometric circle upon which the Great Pyramid is designed, the year circle, sometimes referred to as the Enoch circle. This circle, found by drawing a circle whose diameter equals the length of the antechamber, that is 116.2602 inches, was discovered to have a circumference of 365.242 pyramid inches. Not only was this the exact number of days in our solar year, it was also the number of years that Enoch lived on earth, that is, 365,088 days and 9 hours. Thus, inches may be expressed in terms of years. The origin of the scale of the biblical chronological prophecy, one day equaling 1 year, and that of the Great Pyramid chronograph, one inch equaling 1 year, can thus be tracked back to Enoch's circle as can the sacred cubit itself. On applying the chronological test of each year representing 1 year to the passage system, we obtain an amazing result. Since the building of the Great Pyramid started in 2623 BC, we start with that date applied to the entrance and measure down the sloping passage to where the first upward passage begins. The measurement is 1,170 inches, and allowing each inch to represent a year, I find that this upward passage system started at 1453 B.C., the very date of the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and their receiving of the divine law through Moses. Measuring up the ascending passage at a given scale of an inch to a year, we find the length is 1,485 inches, and therefore the end of the passage marks precisely the spring of A.D. 33. A.D. 33 is the very day Jesus was crucified, ending the 1,485-year period known as the dispensation of the law. For the sake of any who may not be used to chronological reckoning, the rule for ascertaining the A.D. date required is to deduct the figures of the B.C. date from the total period and add 1. Thus, 1485 minus 1453 plus 1 equals A.D. 33. Continuing proof of prophetic chronology is found by measuring the lofty passage following after and at the same slope as the ascending passage. The passage known as the Grand Gallery, which represents the age from Jesus' day onward. This age, represented thereby the gospel of the kingdom, has also been preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, as Christ foretold it would be. On applying chronological test to the Grand Gallery, as we did to the previous passages, we again obtain an amazing result. We find its length to be 1881 and 1/3 inches. So measuring consistently at a rate of an inch per year, we ascertain that the end of it, therefore, marks the late summer of A.D. 1914. This date is the second time period of annual prophecy in the Bible, a time being 360 years, which, when multiplied by 7, equals 2,520 years. The fall of Assyria in 607 B.C. is the starting time, and the termination is the beginning of the time of trouble with which this age, and indeed this whole world order, is due to be replaced with the inauguration of God's new order. Both Bible time prophecy and the Great Pyramid's chronograph show that the time of the Gentiles were due to run out in 1914. In the New Testament, our Lord prophesied about the times in the Gospel, according to St. Luke chapter 21, and verse 24, which reads, "Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled." In accordance with this prophecy, Jerusalem has been oppressed by one heathen power after another all down through the centuries, right from the first century of the Christian era. In 1914, the last oppressor, Turkey, was challenged by Britain, and in World War I, Jerusalem was delivered from the hands of the oppressor. It is interesting to note that the delivery of Jerusalem in December of 1917 by General Allenby of the British Army was also precisely a prophetic 7 times, that is, 2,520 years after 604 B.C., the date when Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon first came against Jerusalem and took the city, and led away that segment of the tribe of Judah captive into Babylon. So much of the pyramid's chronological prophecy has now been realized in history that the scale 1 inch to 1 year has been incontrovertibly proven. In this brief study of the Great Pyramid, I have only touched on the Christian message found in the pyramid. Not only is the date of the crucifixion of Christ revealed, but also his birth and baptism was foretold over 2,000 years before he came to earth. For further study, the listener is directed to read A Study in Pyramidology by E. Raymond Capps, with 254 pages well illustrated and with details of the Christian message contained in the Great Pyramid, a message that prophesies his coming again as king to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
I hope you have enjoyed today's lesson in this series of studies in biblical antiquities, covering archaeological research of my plans that has led to a proper understanding of the biblical text and the historical events it records. For a complete list of books, videos, and cassette tapes, I have been...
Okay, enough of that scratchiness there. We apologize for the little lacking of audio quality near the end of the tape. I hope you got enough of the information. It is fascinating reading. I've read this particular book that he referenced here, and it's just a phenomenal book, the amount of information that's in there. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come right back, and the phone lines will be open.
They're here. No, not the TV people, but the radio people through Archive On Demand. Since 1995, Steve Melching has been faithfully recording shows from Steve Quill, Bill Brumbaugh, and others. Over coming weeks, every show he's taped from Bill and Steve will be available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And it's not just Bill and Steve, but the Bike Show, Pastor Dan's broadcast, and future hosts as well. For just $6.95 each per month, or $20 for the entire package, you can listen anytime you want to these dynamic information resources. That's dramatically less than the cost of a basic satellite or cable TV package, and conversely offers uncut, unadulterated truth and views. Simply go to archiveondemand.com and follow the instructions. It's also a great gift for friends and family who have inquiring minds. Archiveondemand.com. Package price subject to change with the addition of future host archives.
Back to by Yahweh's Design. Once again, here's your host, Pastor Dan.
Welcome back, everybody, and again, we've entitled tonight The Great Pyramid, Part 2. We hope you tuned in Friday night for Part 1, the combination of the two tapes, a lot of information put forth by E. Raymond Capp on the significance of the pyramid. I hope you caught the reference in Isaiah to the fact that there'd be a monument to our Heavenly Father Yahweh on the borders, which is what Giza means. Of Egypt, and it would be for the latter days when we'd have the technology to figure out the significance of it, which is exactly what's happened. And the Great Pyramid of Giza, of course, is a most unique pyramid. There is none like it in the world as far as its angle, size, etc., and the fact that it was never meant to be a burial place for anybody. So, again, I've read the book that he mentions. Of course, it was many years ago, but it's an excellent book if you want to read one on the fascinating material. I really can't even fathom the mind it takes to discern all that stuff. I mean, as you read the book, you're just overwhelmed with all these mathematical calculations, etc., and how much they all interrelate. Fascinating read. But anyway, you can go to artisanpublishers.com and you can find out how much it is and how to order that book. Again, that's Artisan, A-R-T-I-S-A-N, artisanpublishers.com. Okay, the phone line is open, 260-356-2611, and again, it's 260-356-2611. Something we don't talk about very often is financial help for us. We do have a few brave hearts out there and warrior saints who help us from time to time, and thanks to Yahweh, of course, so we've been able to keep the program up. We need some soul searching here, both on our end and yours, if you wish us to continue this. The costs for putting the program out are going to go up, and that's not the fault of Steve. Steve is doing everything humanly possible to keep our costs at a bare minimum, and he's done a phenomenal job. But he can't do it all. He's a working man like the rest of us, and it costs money to buy equipment, to buy web spaces and all this other stuff. Anybody that's ever done it knows that. And it's going to go up for us here next month. So I need to know from you, the listeners, if it's going to be worth our efforts to do this. Not to mention yours truly. I've been out of work for quite some time. I'm taking this as a sign from the Father. It's time to get back to basics. It's something I preach constantly, and it looks like he wants me to do it. So maybe that's what it's all about. But I cannot find work comparable to what I'm used to doing as a professional engineer. Not a PE, not that professional engineer, but a electronics or instrumentation engineer, I should say. And so we're going to be going back to the basics. We're going back on a farm in the very near future. In fact, during the month of March, we'll be heavily involved in doing that. And that's the other reason why we're asking for your input as to what you want us to do. We're here to serve you. If we are effectively ministering to and helping any of you out there, we need to know that. And then, therefore, we will obviously put forth the effort, even during a move, to come up with the funds and the time to put a program on for you every night. But I need feedback. And unfortunately, as these times get rougher, people typically don't give a whole lot of feedback. So we have no way to gauge the effectiveness of what we're doing. None whatsoever, because you're not talking to us. You don't send us any mail, except for those brave few souls I was talking about earlier. The vast majority of you don't send a mail, don't send any email, and you don't call in. So, you know, we don't know what effect we're having here. We have no feedback other than the Spirit of our Father just guiding us on here, which is okay, but it would be nice if our brethren would kind of pitch in and give us a little nudge here and let us know. Again, these are going to be tough times for everybody, and they're already tough times for many in my family, and they could end up being tough times for us here shortly. So we need to know if we're doing okay and what we can do for you, or if you have any comments for changes. I mean, we're open to suggestions as long as it's constructive criticism. A lot is going on. I feel compelled to stay on the air as long as we possibly can just to bring you the tidbits that I'm getting from all my many different sources of information, most of which are just people. I don't rely on any major publications, any magazines, any other print media. I don't listen to the canned news on the radio. I don't watch any program television. None. I get every source or every bit of my information from personal contacts and from my own listening to shortwave radio and things such as that. And then I pass it on to you. So, again, if you would please just contact us. You can email us from the link that's on Steve's main page, realityradionetwork.com. You can call into the station at 260-356-2611 and let us know. Or you can mail us at By Yahweh's Design in care of Post Office Box 436, Stevensville, Michigan, 49127. Our plan is to keep that box open even as we move, and maybe even for a while after we move, so that the transition period there, we'll still be able to stay in touch with folks. So here again, everything, of course, is in our Father's hands, and as the demise of our Christian Constitutional Republic speeds up, only He knows what's going to happen any one day to the next. I mean, there is just so much stuff going on. It came over from a friend of mine that even the mainstream media now is admitting about the estrogen problem in our water supply. I've known about this for quite some time. In fact, I'm sure we talked about it on the air, so much so that, you know, we haven't said anything lately, but now the mainstream media is even admitting that because of the birth control pills, which is one of the main culprits, and there's others, that women are taking, they're passing 80% of that estrogen right out of their own bodies back into the water table through the sewage system. Well, what most people don't know is estrogen is not filtered out. Even nature, from what I'm gathering, will not filter estrogen out. Certainly not commercial filtration systems. And so men, as a consequence of drinking the water, are having the estrogen within their bodies, which is tending to cause effeminate behavior in mankind. Oh my gosh, the biblical things that are going on, unbelievable, unbelievable. So here we got even the mainstream media admitting that all of us kooks have been trying to warn you for all these years, they're admitting it finally, estrogen is a problem. Just like eventually you're going to find out fluoride is a problem, chlorine in the water is a problem, the fact that your food has absolutely no nutrition left in it, that most of it is hybrid foods, processed, hydrolyzed oils, hydrogenated oils in them, which have aluminum in them and is causing Alzheimer's and many of the debilitating diseases we have, and on and on and on and on it goes. Why? Because we love our materialism so much we have turned away, as Hosea says, from our Father. We've rejected Him. We have rejected His truth. We suffer from a lack of knowledge. In a land where electronics is provided almost 24 hours a day, inundating you with information, there is very little truth. There's a big difference between truth and information. Yep, people, you've got a lot of information. You don't have very much truth. There is indeed a famine, as the scripture says, in the land. And that famine is for the word of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Because it's not being preached in these churches. It's not being talked about in the families at the dinner table. It's not talked about by the father who's the head of the household. And so there is a famine. And it's certainly not talked about over any major media. And I don't care who the person with the mic is, whether it's a preacher, priest, or commentator, they are all antichrist. I'm telling you. As a good book I'm reading right now, he equates the eighth beast of Revelation to the Zionist international movement. And I agree with that determination. The eighth beast of Revelation, as you read it, just picture in your mind world Zionism, and you've got it nailed right down. And the eighth beast is in almost total control of most of the Western European civilized countries of this world. They control them. As you're seeing, because of your, quote, elected officials, not going and not being swayed by the multitudes of people protesting this so-called war of aggression on Iraq. It's having no effect. Why? They have an agenda, and they're going to do it whether you like it or not, people. It is a joke if you think you have any say in your government. That is a joke. The Zionist International completely controls candidate A and candidate B. And if for some strange reason one got in there that isn't controlled, it won't take very long before he's either outvoted, they get something on him to change his mind, or he has an accident, as in the Clinton years when that long list of strange disappearances occurred. Come on, people, it's time to wake up. Your eighth beast is Zionist International. It's tied in with the United Nations, and they work hand in glove, and they control capitalism and communism. They control both ends of the argument, as always. Conservative groups, who's at the top? Zionists. The leftist group, who's at the top? Zionists. Who controls the banking? Zionists. It goes on and on. It's boring almost to read it. I mean, they control everything. Everywhere you turn, it's one of them. And yet, people still can't seem to get it. However, the good news is there are a lot of people waking up. Even these talk show hosts are finally waking up. It's really great to see, whether it's over the internet or shortwave. The latest one I've heard is Alex Jones is even, as much as he tries to tiptoe around that issue, he's had to come out and be honest. And to his credit, he is honest about it, about the fact that the government of Itzalai over there in Palestine is corrupt like all the other governments. So let's not beat around the bush here. Let's say it the way it is. They are corrupt. They kill their own. They kill other people. Just like our government has done, and the governments of most other countries have done, all through history. And certainly the communist regimes are notorious for killing tens of millions of people, especially their own. So why should Israel be left out of this picture? Yes, it's controlled by terrorist thugs who will consider murder and assassination a justifiable means to an end. They brag about it. But your major media in this country, folks, is owned by Zionists. That's why there's a strange absence of any negative journalism against the nefarious deeds of that bandit terrorist state known as Itzalai. I call it Itzalai because it is a lie. You may hear it called Israel or Israelai, either one. I like the term it's a lie because they are the great impersonators trying to pretend that they're the people of the Bible when Lord knows they are not. Never were, never will be. The only people in the Bible they represent is Esau, Edom. And if you want to read about what they're all about, a good place to start is in the book of Obadiah. It's a short one chapter book, so you can get through that one. Go read about Esau, Edom, and you will find out what Israel's all about and where they're headed. So anyway, there's a neat awakening going on. Alex Jones, his tape, 911, The Road to Tyranny, I have a copy of it. In fact, I've already made several copies to hand out to people. A great wake-up tape. Of course, it's not teaching this message. However, one of the steps to get people to come to know who the Father is to get them to wake up from their la-la land attitude that everything is okay. Well, this tape is a dynamite way to get them to understand that there's something very, very wrong here in these United States. United Sovereign States of America. So, get them to watch the tape, and then once they come out of their fog and start asking the right questions, then you can lead them into the truths of the Word, because all of this is biblical. And you can go to InfoWars, InfoWars.com, InfoWars.com, and find out how to order the tape, and then make your own copies and start handing them out to people. Very, very, very good video. Almost 3 hours of material. Unbelievable. And it will get your blood boiling. Infowars.com, and do your part to help waking up people. I was going to say Alex was talking about on today that the other day he had an auditorium full, This is an older building, so it didn't hold all that many people. It was only about, I think he said, a little over 200 people, something like 225 people, packed full to watch an airing of this dramatic video. That's got to be a first. In Austin, Texas, actually 200-plus people packed in, and they had to turn people away. He said at least 50 that he personally saw, and who knows how many more. People who wanted to see this video that bad would sit for almost 3 hours and watch it. That's incredible. And he didn't even advertise. So something's going on with all these protesters coming out, and then that many people in one relatively small, I mean, I've been to Austin. Austin's a good size, but it's not like Chicago. But a town of Austin size, they fill a theater with 200 plus people and then have to turn at least 50 to 100 away to see his video, not to mention how many he sold. So, you know, there is awakening going on, and we need to keep the pressure up. The New World Order does not have this thing in the bag. And even scripturally, it's going to tell you that. All the things that Antichrist has planned for you are not going to come to pass. And when Yahweh brings Babylon crushing down, because it's the merchants who do the weeping and wailing, people, and the Zionist International is a mercantile system. Everything in America is a mercantile commerce system that these ancient Pharisees, called today Zionists, control. Absolutely control. And you are their slaves. You are an industrial slave punching a time clock, and you are a consumer slave. Yahweh didn't plan for you to have to go out and spend money every day in order to live. You were given the right to own a self-sufficient little farmette to where you needed very little from anybody else. And what little you needed, you could barter for if you wanted to. Very little need for money. It was only when the Pharisees and the money lenders, just the same kind of money lenders that Yahshua beat out of the temple with a whip, when they come on the scenes, all of a sudden now you get usury banking and endless debt and endless foreclosures and a slow, life-sucking drain on the economic life of the nation. That's why the Zionist, Khazar, Antichrist Jews have been kicked out of every country of Europe over the centuries, at least once, sometimes two or three times, as the kings and different monarchs realized what they were doing to debase the money system. Once you debase the money system, you wreak havoc on the people. And that's what's happening in America. Who do you think finances all the filth that goes on in here? Who do you think pays for these jackbooted thugs like they did up at the World Trade Organization protest in Seattle and all the other jackbooted thugs that go around in these black uniforms with no ID on them? Who do you think pays their salary to do what they do? You do! Confiscatory taxation, it's called. They take it out of your wallet and then they decide who's going to get it. And they fund every form of terrorism known. Just go to Alex's program. You can go onto it shortwave every day from noon to 3 Eastern Time at 12.172 megahertz on a shortwave radio. Again, that's 12.172 from noon to 3. I dare you to go listen for a few days in a row to all the people calling in to his program about what's going on. It's happening, people. They have proof positive of government spending money. Al-Qaeda is a CIA / Mossad operation. Did you hear what I just said? This newest boogeyman, Al-Qaeda, is a Mossad CIA operation funded and manned by their people. And yet they got you almost ready to go to war because of a, quote, terrorist group called Al-Qaeda. It's all a dog and pony show. Wag the dog. Go watch the movie, Wag the Dog, and see how they are playing you for a fool because you have turned away from your heavenly father and sought after the baubles and the trinkets that the Antichrist offers you. And many will continue and to their own destruction when our Heavenly Father finally has had enough of this system and He brings it crashing down. Those who are partaking of the sins and abominations of Babylon when He crashes it down will perish with her. And that will be many of your friends and relatives, people. Get used to it. It's going to happen. And those who survive, as Psalm 91 says, will be those who obey His word and His law and reverence and put themselves under His protection. That's who. It's as simple as that. It's really not very complicated. But it's hard to do. Because it requires reading and believing what's in the Word. And those are two things harder than all Hades for people today to do. Take the time to read something and then actually believe it. But if you can do that, you're on the right team. Again, we hope you enjoyed the tape. We will be back with you, if it's our Father's will, tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Till then, stay strong, keep your eyes open, and stay alert, and praise Yahweh.